Just getting it right, isn't it? So, well, let's get into the cyber score first then, because that's the bit that I don't know about. So I want to ask about that first, and then we can kind of cover the event stuff that we kind of discussed last time. So you want to tell them, I've been onto the CyberScore website, thecyberscore.com.
That's it.
I put in my domain and it came back fairly clean, actually.
Okay.
So I'd love to know more about exactly what the tool is. I mean, to me, it looks self-explanatory, but from an MSP's perspective, that's where I'm coming from. I want to know from their perspective, how this can help them.
We wanted to create something fun and educational, informative, to be a conversation starter between a regular person, regular person, non-tech savvy person, and IT providers. So that when you meet someone in public, or if you're just trying to get the conversation started, you can bring it out on your phone and do something fun. Not spooky and scary to showing them their passwords and stuff. That's too scary. It's not the conversation you want to start, but a little bit informational. The analogy that we started off, way in the beginning was the cyber version of a credit score for small businesses.
Yes. Okay.
As a communication tool. So that was the concept started. The cyber score as it is right now takes in the website of any small business. It's looking primarily for email and website security issues.
Yeah.
The most popular thing that it looks for is the dark web breaches. That's by far the most popular thing that resonates with regular people.
Okay.
Mostly because regular people have heard about data breaches and stuff like that. And that kind of gets them going, triggers their little voyeuristic mind. And they're combing through it looking for colleagues. So that's the big thing that people like. It's also looking for email impersonation settings. So this is like your DKIM and DMARC that prevent criminals from sending emails that look like you. Horribly underutilized, but little understood.
It's getting better.
Yeah, Gmail did us all a favor, just like they did with SSL a couple of years ago. They did us all a favor by forcing it on marketing companies in February.
Really? Mm-hmm.
So you see an uptick, but still for our typical small business, they don't have it, which is unfortunate because it's a fantastic way to fish someone, which I can give a fun example in a set. So looking for that, it grabs what email provider they're using, again, for information. So if they're using Google Workspace or Outlook or self-hosted. Or Exchange server. And then it does a similar type of thing with the websites, looking for website security settings, SSL, which thankfully is commonplace, and whether they have a web application firewall. Okay. The most popular candidates of those being Cloudflare or Security or one of the popular ones. It's Better Labs.
Yeah. So for example, the dark web breaches, is that like calling upon the Poland API?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Poland is one of the few resources that's trustworthy enough to use, supported by the FBI, and Troy Hunt is like a huge name in security.
Yeah.
There are websites that you shouldn't put your email and password into, but we use the Have I Been Poland APIs.
Yeah.
And that's part of the sequence. The hard part really, Scott, is to do a full company, we have to actually find all the employees' contact information because... Okay. The Have I Been Poland only allows you to query one email at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So part of the process is we take in someone's domain, we use other paid APIs to find all of the employees' email addresses that have been scattered all over the internet publicly. We grab those and then run the dark web breaches.
So
fun complement of getting the cyber scores, you also get everyone's contact information, email address, first name, last name, job title, LinkedIn, because we need it to do the security stuff. And, there's the two sides of icebergs, like the sales tool and the security tool. It's all in one.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. So I can totally see the practical examples of this. So that conversation starter, they put their domain in there. And what's the next step from that? I mean, I've been on already. So it's okay, you get some of the information. And it's really cool how all the other information is blurred out. You can't see it. But what's the next steps, from an MSP's perspective, if they're telling someone about, do they have their cyber score?
The follow-up is critical here.
Yeah.
A user coming to the website will see in typically all the placements that we have that you would see, as a general person, you're going to see the blur because it's in like sort of lead capture mode. Okay. If they put their contact information in, then everything unblurs. You get the full score and you can print it as a PDF. In those detailed sections, it'll say, what is this? Why does it matter? How to fix it? That's my plain language way of, you know, giving them the brass tacks. In the conversations that I have, especially with people in person, they're all talking about the dark web breaches. So like how you fix those are reset the passwords for the associated accounts. And that's the type of language that I, in all our onboarding, we tell the MSPs, because people want some like immediate boost to improve. And you got to have, because that's how you make it educational. It's not just like shaming, but saying, here's an issue. Here's a quick and easy way. Most of these are totally free. Just DIY, go in through the list, find your LinkedIn account. Use it as a checklist. Just go and change the password. Inevitably, no one does that because it's a lot of manual labor. But then this is sort of like the value prop of the IT providers to say, do this yourself. And then you follow up 5 days later. Did you do all those? You resell your passwords? No, we didn't get around to it. Well, hey, that's what we do as part of our package is we're going to be monitoring this constantly. And if one of your cloud accounts gets breached, the MSP, you know, would say, we'll go in. You don't even need to know. We'll reset the password, send you notification.
So that's the next question in the back of my head was that monitoring. So like, okay, this small business comes over to the MSP. They're made aware of this. Their current provider is just not looking at it. Or maybe they just don't have a current provider that's focused on this. And we sign them up to our monthly recurring revenue contract and to secure their business. And we're going to start monitoring these elements of their security using your tool. So is it like a continuous monitoring? Is it something that kicks off every day? How does that work?
We have a trigger system so that when these breach databases post a new breach list, our scans re-trigger, we go through everyone and then we send a notification. Acme Inc., one of the companies that you're monitoring, Acme Inc., has had an employee included. Here's the info, send the email.
I love it. It's so cool. I had another vendor on this YouTube channel or podcast, whatever you want to call it, about 3 or 4 months ago, Easy DMARC. And they were focused on like, this is actually from a DMARC SPF perspective. Like, you know, that's one of the gaps that you show in this cyber score. Mm-hmm. Like that's actually a revenue generation opportunity for MSPs to like go down the route of actually implementing correct SPF, correct DMARC, DKIM, all of that good stuff, and then reporting on it. So it makes a lot of sense to me. And I can quickly see you guys just growing exponentially with this because I even just love the branding on it. I guess where I'm coming from the MSP side is what's their biggest question or potentially objections to using this tool? Yeah. Do you know what that is yet? Or is that?
I'd have to be grasping for straws to get objections from the MSP. Yeah. Usually in the flow, the objections come from the prospect.
The prospect.
The tool is pretty self-explanatory. Like, we're not really inventing anything new. Like the concept of a cyber score is a little novel concept that we're trying to promote, but it's a health check. To do a health check is not anything novel. MSPs are, you know, everyone's doing health checks. The credit score thing was our inspiration. The objections usually come from the prospect. Top three objections being, no, we're fine. We actually have this under control, which is, you know, that's a conversation starter in itself. Yeah.
Obviously not.
Yeah, right. Okay, what do you mean by that? Because here, this is public information. You know, like the DMARC stuff is in the phone book of the internet. This is public. So what do you mean by you have it under control? Because this is clearly an issue. It's a conversation starter. Or like, we got someone that takes care of that already. Great. Tell me more about that. Who's taking care of it? Is it internal? You know, so these are the objections or nothing bad's going to happen to us. I read a research article about top small business objections to cyber. Those were the top three. We're okay. We have someone already, or nothing bad's going to happen to us. The classic one.
Yeah.
So those are the objections.
All right. That's cool. I love that from a sales perspective, knowing what they are and even just having like, you know, in the back of your head, how to come back with them. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're ready for those objections because that's, They happen all the time. There's a little bit of ego involved in showing someone a health check, especially an unsolicited health check, which is what these are. It's a little bit of ego involved. And I see this when I do the in-person events, because someone will be like, how did you get my information? We'll say, this is all public information. Your email addresses are on your website. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're checking public databases for your breaches. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. So you got to sort of like delicately dance past that, because you don't want to like crash into their ego and fight them on that. This is supposed to be a supportive, constructive conversation.
Okay. So we're obviously going to be covering events in the second half of this discussion, but from the perspective of like what we do, IT Rockstars, and what I do, and what I'm focused in on, is a lot of sort of lead generation, lead magnets, basically marketing opt-ins. So the prospect is not a conversation in an event space. They're seeing, I don't know if you've got a widget or how it works for the MSP. They're seeing an ad for, have you checked your cyber score from the local MSP? And it's taking them to the widget or the landing page, whatever it might be. So that opt-in, that ego then disappears because they're the ones opting in. Would I be right in saying that? Is there still a little bit of a hurdle there from a marketing perspective?
I would assume that there's still going to be a hurdle, because it's still showing someone a health check that's probably not going to be 100%. It's not going to be passing with flying colors. If the lead is coming through, like they're clicking the search ad, they see the landing page, they read the info and they say, yes, I would like to see the other side of this. Give me my cyber score. Here's my contact information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then clearly there's some intent to learn. That's good.
Okay.
So that does helps to sidestep and dispel the ego. That is how they're being used, either like a iframe embed on the squeeze page, or they simply redirect to we host the landing pages for everyone.
Okay.
Both are good options. Going through the pay-per-click to a squeeze page with a little bit of info, and then put your contact information here, and then the form just sidesteps to the embedded iframe. That's the most common use case.
How do they use your, is it your branding that they can use on it? Like, can they actually use this cyber score, check your cyber score, or how does that work?
Cyber score is the term that most people are using. A couple of them have renamed it to like risk score, or one of our users call it hack score. They could do whatever they want.
Okay.
And the whole landing page, and if you embed it as an iframe, everything is branded for the MSP.
Cool. So what's the follow-up then? Do you have any training materials in your, as part of this for you start running maybe potentially something like, I'm going to say Facebook ads or Meta ads, because I love them. I think a lot of people go, why? But you'll find out at some point if you hear from me. Do you have and if someone comes to your website for running these ads, a local prospect that sees the ad in the timeline, and they opt in, or they check their cyber score, they opt in. What do you have, a tested follow-up process for these emails that are coming through and names that are coming through? Is that just left to the MSP to decide what they're going to do in that follow-up?
Yeah, right now that's left to the MSP. This is the next step of the process that we're trying to find a solution for, because the money's in the follow-ups, as I'm sure you're well
aware. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, the money's in the follow-ups. Yeah. So at least we're helping with that one touch point, getting them excited. And then when someone puts their contact info into either our lead capture or if they're MSP's capture, then the MSP gets the notification from us saying, Jimmy@acme.com just put his info in, follow-up. And I'm trying to figure out a convenient way that I can add value. We don't have the CRM process to send emails for them. But that is what we're working on right now, is integrating with a couple different CRMs so that we can at least say we provide the trigger to the automation, and then, I provide some advice or just connect with someone that has some more dependable follow-up sequence.
Yeah, even like an email nurture sequence, that type of thing, kind of enter into your marketing and all that good stuff. Okay, cool.
Exactly. I was listening to your October 1st one, single best way to generate leads for your business, and talking about getting people's emails from the webinars. This is part of my funnel, is trying to get people on webinars to get their email address. So even if they don't show up,
yes,
you know, I get a small fraction of people that register show up. At least then 25%. I can send them an email.
Yeah.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I got 2 out of 16, so almost half of your 25.
Well, if you've got the right reminder sequence in place, that can always help as well. And if you incentivize the webinar in some way, that can help too. Cool. All right, let's get on to the events then, because this sounds amazing. And I'm like, I'm sold on it. And I'm just like, from the CyberScore perspective, I'm like, how could I integrate this more with the members here at IT Rockstars? And for me, it maybe sounds like it's potentially that nurture sequence when it comes to the marketing. But
that is the big missing link for me right now. So if you have follow-up sequences, right now we're making the CRM integration. We got HubSpot already. We're doing Go High Level, MailChimp, and what was the other one? PipeDrive that we're working on. The ConnectWise is like my January plan, so that it's like super easy to like compact added. Here's the information. So you can take the merge fields and say, hey, Jimmy, just saw that you requested your CyberScore. X number of dark web breaches are a big concern. Here's some tips on our website on how to fix them. So as you get like those stats right in the email sequence, that makes it nice and personalized.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's an active campaign as well. That's a big one.
Right.
They're all fairly easy to integrate with in different ways. So cool. All right.
So far, the docs seem pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go on to the reason why we're meeting today. We were kind of discussing events. We were both at an event back in October 24, ScaleCon. I saw you with a little camera right up at the front of the, near the stage. I'm like, who is this guy? And to hear the time, he was like, you kept talking about you. So like, I need to find out more about Michael and what he's doing. But I think you reached out to me. So we're going to be discussing events, running your events. And I think when we caught up first time, you were just away to go to a couple events. How did they go?
In October, I went to 9 small business networking events with our MSPs. As sort of like, and that was my fun way of helping them just get out there and get in front of people. So a couple of them, I actually paid for the booths for them. But otherwise, like, I got my TV on the TV stand in the Toronto area. I brought people out. I drove to New York for one of them. I drove down to Baltimore. So October being Cyber Awareness Month, and middle of October is Small Business Week in the United States. So there was kind of like a double whammy there. So events, in-person events, these were all small, like 100 attendees, 200 attendees. ScaleCon was almost 300 people. That was large compared to these events. Imagine like the Chamber of Commerce, where you got a couple accountants and lawyers, and then like people selling honey and arts and crafts.
Yeah, local things.
It's a hodgepodge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those, the reason I liked them and the reason I wanted to do them and the reason I thought that they were all successful is they're cheap, like $200, $300 Canadian, which is nothing for an afternoon. So not only does it not cost that much money, they also don't consume that much time, which is good because all of my MSPs are small. So like taking a whole day off work for the owner is a big deal.
Yeah. So
little afternoon, you get your table. We brought the TV and the TV stand, and that was it. And those were great because in 3-8 hours, you get 100 people walk by. Out of the 100 people, like a couple dozen, you catch their eye with whatever lead magnet that you had. We were using the CyberScore as the lead magnet. And it's a great way to qualify whether the general population walking by cares at all about talking about IT. Because if they don't care, you know, they're going to see it. I think it's pretty intuitive when you have it like on a big TV, get your CyberScore. I think that's pretty straightforward about what they would get if they stopped by.
Yeah.
So the people that walk right past, let them walk past. The people that stop by, it's a great conversation starter. You start chit-chatting about that.
Yeah. I've always kind of been weary of events, and that's why I wanted to discuss it with you. Because certain, like, I do a lot of webinars, and they're easy because I just have to click a mouse button. But when it comes to like the in-person events, there's there is, I mean, you say it's like an afternoon or a morning, but there is still a commitment there. And, going physically to the event and everything that comes with that. Like, I'm like a little bit of an introvert. So when it comes to like having to talk to lots of other people, it's like, oh, it's so draining.
Absolutely. You're one among many in that regard, especially in the industry we're in. There's a lot of tech heavy personas. Absolutely. And this was, the webinar I ran yesterday was how to prospect at trade shows without sweating through your shirt, because I had one person super nervous. The first time he's ever done an event, and like really nervous, sweating profusely type of nervous.
Okay.
What helps is my three takeaways for him, which we'd go through later, but what helps is remembering that you're not there to close people. Remembering that you're not there to close people, but you're there to qualify people helps you like tone down the stress level.
Okay.
You're there to meet people and filter out who might qualify.
Yeah.
Because if you go in thinking, I got to close people, you're going to be sweating bullets, because every person that walks by, you're like, what magic trick do I say to them to close them? That's never going to happen. Yeah. It's never going to happen, especially for MSPs. Yeah.
Too much energy involved. I mean, I don't know what you think about, like, certainly when I have been to them, is that I'm not even trying to qualify. I'm actually just trying to start a relationship with someone, like, you know, introduce myself, find out a little bit more about them, find out who they are. And, you know, there's a qualification piece that comes into it. But it's potentially, like, this is the way when I used to go to, it was BNIs at the time. Mm-hmm. When I first started there, it's like, most of the people in the room, I was like, I can't sell anything to any IT services to these guys. There's like a guy that goes up on a roof and he does flat roofing. He doesn't need IT services. He's totally out with my game. But what I realized with it was like who they know, like who their business network is. And, you know, that's where things start to really open up. So it's being able to understand that opportunity exists, but you have to, I guess, jump through some hurdles to get there to that point. So tell me what your three takeaways are then, Michael, from this MSP that was sweating bullets from his first conference.
Three takeaways for prospecting at trade shows without sweating through your shirt. Number one, you need a fun hook. Okay, you need something fun to get people to stop by. Attendees that come to these trade shows or little networking events, they clearly have some buyer's intent because they spent the time to walk all the way to this little chamber networking event. So they have some intent. You still need something fun to get them to stop by. Like, no tech jargon or like a super long pamphlet. Don't do any of that, but something fun. Yesterday, a guy posted a picture of little tabletop arcade machine. Okay, that's something fun. That gets someone to stop by. You could do the password guessing thing. I've seen someone do that, is like, you show the first couple characters of a common password and someone guesses the end and they get like jelly beans or whatever. Or, you know, what we do is the cyber score, you know, it's attractive on the TV. It gets people to stop by. You need something fun that you don't feel nervous, like trying to figure out what an elevator pitch is to a random person. That's pointless. And people stop by.
I love that.
Number two, and probably the most valuable thing to remember about these trade shows, the money is in the follow-ups.
Okay.
You're going to get a ton of business cards. You're going to get a ton of names. You're not pitching anyone there on site. The money comes from doing follow-ups. So you got to go home.
Do people still use business cards?
Well, stack of business cards right here.
This shows you how often I go to these events. Yeah.
Okay. It's less and less, but people are still walking around with business cards, especially when we're talking about like accountants and lawyers. Like, people still walking around with business cards. The money's in the follow-ups. That's critical. I had one of our MSPs. He got a ton of business cards. He had someone that was almost a laydown come through at the event and did not follow up.
What's a laydown?
2 weeks. A laydown is a prospect that is like standing there saying, "I have a problem, and here's my money. I'm ready to pay you to solve it."
Okay,
that's a laydown.
I've never experienced that before.
It happens rarely. And you thank them for being there. Say, yes, I will solve your problem. Here's the onboarding sequence. Sign here. So we had a lady at one of the first ones. it was a home cleaning company.
Yeah.
And she saw the cyber score. She came up and she was talking about how someone was sending spam emails from one of her employees inside of Outlook. And I asked her to tell me more about it. It was clear that she had some authentication issue with Outlook. Some person that shouldn't be there was there. And she's like, this is terrible because my clients found out that we were sending spam. And it was bad for my reputation. Okay, so clearly the problem. I said, here, talk to this person. They're here to solve it. And she even called me after and said, Mike, I'm still trying to fix this. I haven't heard back from them. And this was 2 weeks after. And I'm the third party. She didn't know I was a third party. So I called the MSP and be like, you got to follow up because this lady still has a problem. The money's in the follow up. You got to follow up. So that's number three.
Okay.
Takeaway number three, remember, you're not there to pitch. You're there to qualify. I think this is really important because like all the people that we're talking about, like the MSP personas that we're talking about, statistically not super extroverted, which is great. We're talking empathetically about it. Mm-hmm. It helps to tone down the internal pressure you put on yourself to remember you are not there to pitch. There's no way to successfully pitch to a random person unless they have a problem that they perceive as a problem and they tell you about it. Don't pitch.
There's no pitch required.
Sales feels really salesy and gross when you try and pitch to someone that doesn't have a problem. Because then they say, I didn't want to hear this pitch. You know, like it's the unsolicited cold call that you get. You're like, no, I'm not interested in duct cleaning. Don't call me. So that was the one thing I told to the one MSP that was like really, really nervous, like anxiety level nerves. I said, you're just there to meet people in your neighborhood. Like, you're not pitching to anyone until you realize it.
Was he asking about the qualification? Like what questions I should be asking? Like, are you a business? How many users do you have? How many staff do you have? Is that the type of qualification questions we're looking to do?
Yeah. And hey, why'd you stop by and look for your cyber score? If they care at all about IT. If they don't care about IT, they're not going to be a good client for you.
It's like stating the obvious, you say. That makes perfect sense.
Then the bonus one is one that you said. The bonus one is asking everyone, who else do you know? Who else do you know that might want to see their cyber score? Who else do you know that I should talk to? Because that's what these networking events are for, is to meet actual human beings in your area and then find if they might know someone else.
Someone else, yeah.
The training that I read was don't ask, do you know someone, but ask, who else do you know? And supposedly that gets a better statistical answer of them saying, yes, Jimmy, go talk to Jimmy.
Yeah. And you can even, as part of this follow-up, you can say, hey, you mentioned Jimmy. Can we do an email intro to Jimmy for me, please? I like that. I'm going to have to come back to this.
That's the tandem of the follow-up.
My AI's taking notes. Sorry. Yeah.
Fair fathom. Fathom.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the tandem with the money's in the follow-ups, because even when like my little stack of business cards here from the last event, even if these people are not the right type of prospect that you're looking for, like maybe you only do accountants and you found non-accountants.
Yeah.
Still follow up with them and say, it was great talking to you. Thanks for having fun with us and looking at your cyber score. Who else do you know that might want to see their cyber score? I particularly serve accountants. What accountants do you know? You know, like that's a great follow-up because again, you're not pitching them. So they're not going to feel gross about you emailing them out of the blue.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And most likely that person does know someone that could be a good client for you. And getting that lukewarm intro is gold because then you're calling the next person and saying, hey, Jimmy from XYZ said that you might be interested in seeing your cyber score, met him at this little event. That's a great intro.
I love that. And it's like, you're not even having to overthink anything. Like I do that all the time with stuff. I'm always overthinking it. So I love that. It's just, it's clear. It's simple. It's common sense. It's probably what people have been doing in business for hundreds of years. It's just like being made apparent to me right now. Excellent, Michael. So I think we should end this on a high, man. It's been really, really good to have you on. I've got lots more questions, but I'm aware of the audience's time. So is there any sort of questions or anything that maybe you want to get out there that I haven't asked you yet?
So sorry, final thing.
We covered our top four, find a fun hook. The money is in the follow-ups. You're here to qualify, not pitch. And remember the who else you know power line. And that's, those are the key takeaways. And following up on the point that you just said, these do seem simple. And it's because they're the fundamentals of business. Like, we all need to be reminded more than we need to be taught. So this is the reminder. Like, there's no magic, weird, silver lining, beautiful mind thing that you need to do. Just go out there, be a regular person, have something fun and meaningful to talk to. And then whoever you meet, ask them, hey, I'm looking for accountants. Who else do you know that might be interested in seeing this? That's networking. And it's like, it takes slow and consistent effort, but then you build your pool of lukewarm contacts and then you put them into your follow-up sequence and nurture them into warmer contacts.
There you go. Excellent. All right, Michael, how can people get in touch with you? Are they going to the Cyber Score? I know there's an MSP button up there, but where's the best place for our audience to find out more about
the Cyber Score?
IcebergCyber.com. IcebergCyber.com. That's the MSP facing website. Go there. You'll see all the info you need. If you're curious, thecyberscore.com, play around there. There's an MSP button at the top too. Otherwise, find me on LinkedIn, Michael Bakaich, B-A-K-A-I-C, as you see in the name. That's how you pronounce it. That's where you can find me most often.
Okay.
Beach. Yeah.
Cool. All right, Mr. Bakaich. Excellent. It was great to have you on. I love it. I've got my AI here taking notes, so I'm going to be going to events and I'm going to be following up and qualifying and I'm going to have my hook in there. So thanks very much for being on the show.
Right on, Scott. Pleasure.